It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1.
Happy Wednesday and welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. Ross Brown and Daniel Shirley with you. 2 hours of sports talk. Hope you get a chance to get outside today and enjoy the sunshine as cold, wet weather is on its way back into the forecast for the rest of the week. Had a chance to get out and do a little walking myself this morning. It was cold, good, but it was sunny.
I got up and went to the gym, and the temperature on my car said 34 when I got in the car. I was like, 34,
man. That's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold. And
now, yesterday was colder. I got up yesterday, and, I mean, there was actual, like, ice on the windshield that I had to let melt off before I could go anywhere. So it wasn't that, but yeah, and it warms up. It's warm. I think it said 44.
Yeah, I think we'll hit 60 at some point today. It's not too bad.
50s, low 60s. Yeah.
That was it was mid 30s on the walk this morning, but it wasn't bad.
That will wake you up quickly.
Well, I think it's the blood flowing. You know,
yes, it does.
It's all about layers, and you're moving. If you're exercising, you know, you generate body heat.
Yep.
So it's all good. Well, we got a lot to get to on the program today. We'll talk some NFL mock draft here in just a few minutes. Basketball. I guess we'll have to talk about basketball since baseball doesn't want to get off its butt and do anything. And a little college football talk as well. Of note, we'll dig deeper into this. We transfer portal. I'm hooked on this portal page. 8 players in the portal this morning. So it's every day. It's every stinking day. All right,
and there'll probably be 8 more in there by the end of the day.
Right.
Least.
I'm just trying to see how many people pick up stars. But what they do, no, and I got to the bottom of this, and it makes sense. What they do is when a player enters the portal, then he's reevaluated based off of collegiate experience.
So do they, like if a guy was a 1-star coming out of high school, does he start with that as the baseline, or do they even, I wonder if they even look at what he was when he was in high school, or they just say, okay, this is what he is now.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is. I'm not sure about that aspect of it. But, yeah, it's a all kidding aside, those portal rankings are more accurate than the high school rankings because there's a little bit of college experience in there.
Yeah, some of them we don't. But most of them we have a little bit of film on them to kind of judge what they are as college players, not high school players anymore.
Yep, there you go. So we'll touch on that a little bit later on as well. First, Dane Brugler's got his mock draft out, and it's a 2-round mock draft. I love mock draft season. I love it because we're going to sit here for the next, 10 minutes or so and talk about this as if it was the draft. And it'll change a bajillion times. Very interesting at the top. He's got the Jaguars taking Ikem Ekwonu, I'm probably butchering that, the tackle out of NC State. He's got Aiden Hutchinson going number 2, Kayvon Thibodeau going number 3.
Wow.
Those will be your first 3 picks. Derek Stingley, 4th to the Jets, is in just about every mock draft I'm seeing. I think he could be a really good player. Evan Neal, 5th to the Giants. Charles Cross, 6th to the Panthers. Kyle Hamilton, 7th to the Giants. And then we get to the Falcons with the 8th overall pick. And if this actually plays out, man, this is a nightmare for the Atlanta Falcons, I think. I don't think this is the right guy. I think there's better players on the board. But he's got the Falcons taking David Ojabo, the edge, out of Michigan. And look, they need pass rush, and that's what he is. He's an edge rusher. But I'm telling you, this is not based off of the Orange Bowl, a game in which he did disappear. He's like Kenny Pickett for me. These guys that come out of nowhere in their final season of college and just blow it up. I need a deep dive. What was going on in 19 and 20? And with 20, 2020 is a factor in this. So, Michigan played, 6 games in 2020? So that may be part of it. And it may check out, and the scouts might be like, no, don't read too much into that. In which case, okay, you look at him as a top 10 pick and an edge rusher. But these guys that just kind of came out of nowhere this year, it gives me hesitation.
Yeah, I get that. And especially a guy who I'd have to go back and look at Dane's mock drafts in the past. And usually we have links to the past ones, but I don't see one in there. Where was Ojabo before the season, right? Was he a 2nd-round pick? Was he a 3rd-round pick? Was he late 1st-round? I don't know. But, Russ, they really got to address the offensive line, and they've got to address the defensive line around Grady Jarrett, if they're able to keep Grady Jarrett. I don't even know if they're going to be able to keep Grady Jarrett. And Jeff Schultz wrote a really good piece for us at The Athletic the other day, I guess Monday, Tuesday morning, about it's really Grady Jarrett, Matt Ryan, and Calvin Ridley, and how can who of those will they keep? I think they'll keep Grady Jarrett, but what are they going to do around him? And who's going to help him? And look, I like Ajabo. I do. But I don't know that I like him at eight. I think there's you figured it out. I think there's, like you said, there's other players there. But, you know, I mean, is Jordan Davis even, he doesn't even have Jordan Davis. Man, I stunned that Jordan Davis is 23rd.
And that's the thing. It's just
If you told me I could pair Jordan Davis and Grady Jarrett in the middle of my defensive line, I'm doing that all day.
Right, and I don't want to turn this into bash David Ajabo because he had a terrible game in the Orange Bowl. But I mean, that's part of it too. And there's hesitation there. And you scroll down, and there's just Trayvon Walker's on this list further down. I think he could help. You've got. The Trevor Penning, the tackle out of Northern Iowa, I think he could help. Matt Corral is the only quarterback that intrigues me in this. George Karloftis is a guy that's been mocked to the Falcons a lot. I think he could help. I think he would be a better option. If they part ways with Deion Jones, N'Kobe Dean would be a better option. Jordan Davis would be a better option. I'm starting to sound like I'm really excited about these Georgia players all of a sudden, but
said,
I am.
If you said, Russ, you have to draft one position, what would it be?
Pass rush.
I would say offensive line.
Either that, I'm good with that too.
If I'm going to keep Matt Ryan, or I'm going to move on from Matt Ryan and have a new quarterback.
Yeah,
I got to protect him. Matt Ryan has gotten his brains beat in for 3 years. Nobody got hit more than him the last 3 years. You've got to protect the quarterback. We talk about that all the time, Russ. If you can't protect, look at the playoffs this past weekend. Who got after the quarter? Whose quarterback was uncomfortable? Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Mac Jones,
yeah,
Jalen Hurts, everybody who lost. If you can't protect your quarterback, you're not going to win in the NFL.
Well, and see, and that's why I'm good either way, because the Falcons need both of those things.
Well, that's
true. And it's a flip a coin.
But I don't think Ajabo's the answer.
No, I don't either. I really don't.
And I like him. I do. But not at eight.
Well, I got to see Michigan play against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. He looked good there. I'm not trying to turn this into pick on David Ajabo Day, but I mean, third series of the game against Georgia, I'm like, where's 55?
I'll tell you this. I watched, you know this, Michigan is one of my teams now at The Athletic. I watched more Michigan football than I've watched the rest of my life this year. And he was really, really good all season. He had the worst game of the season against Georgia. But why was that? Because Georgia's offensive line is really damn good. They dominated. And you can take a guy like him away. I don't know that you can take Jordan Davis away. I don't. Unless he's sick, like some people said he was in the SEC championship game, whatever. So I don't think you can take Jordan Davis away. But you can take a David Ajabo away.
Yeah.
You can do that in the NFL.
Yeah, you can. And it's a 2-round mock draft from Dane Brugler. The second pick, I'm not anti this at all. Malik Willis out of Liberty. Malik Willis won't be there at 43rd. He's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying like these guys are first round talents in a vacuum, but we all know in the National Football League, you're talking about the protecting the pass and the pass rush, and that's 2 and 3 on the list in whichever order you want to put it. Number one's having a quarterback.
Well, and right.
He's got, I mean, he doesn't have a quarterback going in this draft until
Pickett.
Is it Pickett?
11.
Yeah, Pickett at 11. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, and we all know that. Like, this is projected, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know that there's going to be a top 10 quarterback.
Right.
There's going to be somebody of this group, and maybe they trade up, maybe somebody trades up, but Denver needs a quarterback. The Falcons need a quarterback. The Giants need a quarterback. Yeah. The Panthers need a quarterback.
Well, he's got Malik.
One of those teams is going to draft a quarterback.
Right. And he's got Malik Willis going 43rd to the Falcons as the fourth quarterback off the board. That's not – there's not going to be – there'll be more than four quarterbacks off the board before then.
Right. And and if you look at it, that's probably what Malik Willis should be drafted is 43rd, somewhere around there. But we know how the NFL works. They're going to slide the quarterbacks up.
Absolutely.
And they'll probably be – we're going to go this entire draft. This is what happens. We go the entire draft process and we go, oh, there's only really two first-round quarterbacks. And then draft night gets here and draft in the first round, and there's five drafted
in the
first round.
And they go flying off the board.
Yep.
But, well, and it's simple. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
It really is true.
So that's why you see those guys go off the board so early. But, you know, just something to keep an eye on with these mock drafts.
Because they're going to start coming hot and heavy now.
Yeah. And I'm not really seeing a whole lot of trends for the Falcons just yet. But the first three picks in this one, he's got, again, Okonwu going 1, Hutchinson 2, Thibodeau 3, Stingley 4. And those four tend to be the first four picks in most of these mock drafts with Evan Neal right there at 5. Charles Cross is 6th in this one. I think that's where you could see a quarterback go first with the Panthers. The Giants taking Kyle Hamilton seems to be pretty consistent across the board. And then you get to the Falcons today. Long way to go. Still haven't even had the combine. It's fun to track this stuff. It's going to change when we hit the combine, of course. And hopefully by the time the draft gets here in April, we'll have a pretty good indication of what the Atlanta Falcons are going to do, and just hopefully they can continue to knock it out of the park like they did with Kyle Pitts, and because that's what it's going to take to get this thing turned around. We'll take a break, come back, see what's happening on the hardwood, that and more as we continue on the Midday Sports Zone right after this. 11:16, Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley back with you here, Midday Sports Zone. Playing a little basketball here this segment. I'm doing my due diligence. I'm trying to do my best, even though my interest level on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, I put the Hawks at about a 4 or 5. College basketball would be a 1.
Is that right? Honest.
Yeah, I just can't get into it. I know Florida State beat Duke last night in overtime. I'm aware of things happening.
Fun game.
But I don't know. I'm just not into it yet.
And there's your – for all the people who say we're a football school, we can't be good at basketball. Look at Florida State.
Is Florida State a football school?
Well.
Sorry, Tommy. I was just messing with Daniel.
If you get the right coach, it can be done. Leonard Hamilton, the Florida State basketball program the last 15 years has been in the top three in the ACC with Duke and North Carolina. He is a Hall of Fame coach, and it's because you got the right person in place and you support them.
And stuck with them.
And Georgia, this could be you if you get the right person.
Well, more on that later. So we start with the Hawks. They'll take on the T-Wolves tonight. Minnesota won last night in New York, 112-110. Cam Reddish still has not played a game for the New York Knicks.
Hey, he's like a banged upper.
Is he hurt?
Injury or something? I know when he was traded, they said he was going to be working through something before he could get on the court.
So. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so there's that. But the T-Wolves got the win last night. They're 22-22 on the season. So this will be a challenge for the Atlanta Hawks and Karl-Anthony Towns with 20 points. And I wonder if we'll see Okongwu kind of drawing that assignment tonight with Capella still banged up. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. The Hawks are a favorite in this game. And I think after the Milwaukee win on Monday, I'm hoping is a turning point for this team. And so that makes tonight's game really important because I feel like this is a team with Karl-Anthony Towns at 22-22. They just went on the road and beat the Knicks, a team that's ahead of you in the standings. If you can win this, now you've put together back-to-back wins against really good teams, and we're seeing signs of a turnaround. So, you know, I hesitate to put too much into a regular season game before the All-Star break, but this would be a big win for the Hawks. I really think so.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's Chris Kirschner made this point yesterday when we had him on. You know, they beat the Bucks before, and the Bucks didn't have all their guys. And you're like, well, you beat the Bucks. It's big to beat the Bucks, but you knew who wasn't playing. That game Monday night, they all played. I don't think Drew Holiday played, but everybody else played.
Yeah,
And I mean, and I'm sorry, if Giannis plays and Chris Middleton plays, that's the Bucks team. So I mean, pretty much they're playing everybody, and you beat them, and the way you beat them, you were down 10 or so with about 7 minutes left, and you come back and win that game. That's a good win, and that's got to give you some momentum, you know. And then you go, look, you got the Heat coming up; they beat you the other night.
Yep.
You try to get on a little roll here. And then the Hornets and Sacramento, there's some teams on the other side of that that you can maybe get on a little bit of a winning streak. But you hope that the game against the Bucks the other night, something kicked in.
Yeah, I hope so. And real quick, Brad Rowland with Peachtree Hoops is saying that Capella and Bogdanovich are both out tonight and won't play. But the Hawks don't – that's not an issue. The Hawks have plenty of depth. I was also reading – some stuff in The Athletic this morning. It sounds like, or at least according to Hollinger, he feels like there's no doubt the Hawks are going to make another move before the deadline.
Yeah, and that sounds like, I mean, that's what Chris has thought too, that they're not done. You know, who's next? I mean, Gallinari.
I
Chris
mean,
mentioned Bogdanovich.
I mean, the way I've read it is basically, you know, they're not going to trade Trae Young, and you can't trade Clint Capella.
Right.
So everything else seems like it's on the table.
I can't believe they would trade John Collins.
I don't think they would either, but
unless they just got blown away by a deal.
But it was, you know, there's some sort of a tiff in the locker room. Was he a part of that? You know, because John's the one that always goes to the media,
right.
And that
John
can rub
talks,
people the wrong way.
John talks a lot.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see where that dust settles. All right. We'll have the pregame for you starting at 7 o'clock. Tip is just a little bit after 7:30. Georgia plays tonight at 9 o'clock against Auburn. So, you know, we'll just kind of play it by ear on when we jump in. I mean, look, if the Hawks game is close,
ugly.
I mean, the ESPN matchup predictor, for whatever that's worth, Georgia's taking on Auburn tonight. A couple of things here just to kind of put it in perspective for you. Auburn's a 21.5-point favorite in a basketball game. And the matchup predictor for ESPN gives Georgia a 2.6% chance to win. I mean, they're just a bad basketball team, and Auburn's one of the best teams in the country. If not the – Auburn might be the best team in the country.
Auburn could win a national title this year. I mean, I you look at teams that could win a national title this year, and obviously you're going to always mention Duke and Kentucky, and I don't think North Carolina so much this year, but Gonzaga's up there, obviously Baylor's up there. This Auburn team, I think, could win a national title. I really believe it, that this team is that talented. And could get it done. So, Georgia, I don't think they cover that, to be honest. Would you say it's 23?
21.5.
21.5? I don't think they cover.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't gamble, and I certainly not going to gamble on college basketball.
Oh, hell no.
But I don't think Georgia wants any part of Auburn tonight.
Yeah, that's a 9 o'clock tip, and again, we'll join it in progress as close to 9 o'clock as possible. We'll see if what's going on with the Hawks and the T-Wolves. They should be finishing up their game right around 9 o'clock, so hopefully everything syncs up there. The Yellow Jackets are at home against Wake Forest. Wake Forest 14-4 on the year, 4-3 in the ACC. Georgia Tech, of course, off to a slow start. 1-5 in conference play, and the matchup predictor. And the only reason I'm citing the matchup predictor is because it makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about. I have no clue what's going on in college basketball.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Wake Forest is another example of get the right guy. They hired Steve Forbes, and Mercer fans remember Steve Forbes from when he was at ETSU. That guy's a hell of a coach. And he's older. He's a little bit older, and he's not the young flashy guy. He wasn't an assistant, the up and coming, and you know what we always, the 30 under 30 and all that stuff. No, he's just a grinder, and the guy's a hell of a basketball coach. And he goes to Wake Forest had been dead in the water basketball wise for a decade, and Steve Forbes comes in and has turned them around in a year and a half. And that just shows you, if you get the right guy in place in basketball, you can get it turned around pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that guy's a hell of a coach.
And then, as far as the matchup tonight, and I'm sure everybody that's played Wake Forest has tried to do this, you've got to figure out a way to take Alondis Williams out of the game.
Yep.
He leads them in scoring, rebounds, and assists.
That's really good.
The engine that makes Wake Forest go.
And Georgia Tech has been in so many games where it feels like they're going to get over the hump, and then they don't. At some point, when does that just drain your energy? as a basketball team. It has to at some point. And, you know, I don't think they're going to quit on Josh because they – I mean, this is a good group. They play hard, and they do everything the right way. And they, you know, they're coming off a very successful year last year. But, my goodness, the number of games where halfway through the second half where it felt like they had a chance to win and they didn't win those games, and here you are 7-9 overall and 1-5 in the ACC, you got to get that turned around. I mean, you've got to start winning some of these close games. I mean, you know, I mean, the Notre Dame game, they lose by 4 in overtime. Duke, they lose by, I mean, it was 12, but it was, you know, it was closer than that at times. Louisville, they lose by 3. USC was 14, but they were in that game. LSU, they lost by 16, but they were in that game. So, I mean, it's like at some point you've got to win some of these games where 30 minutes into the game, it looks like you really can win it, and they're not getting it done.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really, you know, since they started, since they've kind of gone into December, I mean, they were 5-1 through November, and since then, they're 2-8. And several of those games, it felt like they had a chance to win, and they just couldn't get it done. They need to win a game tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, a game like tonight, Wake's a good team, but, like, it's not like it's Duke
right.
or North Carolina where you go, oh, my God, we don't have as much talent.
And you're at home.
Right.
That's got to mean something.
Yes, yes, it does.
So, well, that's a 7 o'clock tip. You can watch it on ESPNU if you're interested. And we'll see if they can get it turned around. So, just somebody in the basketball world here in the state of Georgia, just step up. I was looking today. Mercer is the only program in the state that has a winning record in conference play and overall.
Is that right?
Wow. That's it. I mean, it's just somebody step up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we need somebody. I mean, we've got to have somebody in the NCAA tournament, right?
Please.
And from our state, we have to have somebody make the NCAA tournament. And Mercer's 4-1 in the conference.
Well,
they're tied for first place in the SoCon.
Here's the deal on that stuff, though. That it's irrelevant because all that matters is the conference tournament. They're not sending two teams
right.
to the tournament.
Right.
I mean, that
is a one-bid league.
It's another reason it's just hard for me to get into college basketball. I mean, I don't know who the players are. Cheating gets rewarded, and a team in the SoCon that puts together a good regular season still has to go out and win the conference tournament. So why should I pay attention in January?
Well, it's like Bob Hoffman used to say, 3 days
that's it.
Offset 3 months.
That's awful.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. It's not going to change. So just somebody step up, please. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk some college football. Then we'll open up the phone lines as we continue on the Midday Sports Zone right after this. Yeah. 11:31, Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley back with you here on the Midday Sports Zone. Ron Franklin passed away last night, and Ron was, I mean, if you're a college football fan, he was the voice of college football in the 90s.
Yep.
He had been the play-by-play guy at Texas and took over at ESPN, and that team with him and Mike Gottfried and Adrian Carson was incredible. And just sad. I mean, a life well lived, one of the best play-by-play guys to ever do it. I know it wasn't pretty at the end of his career. He had a few missteps there towards the end, but all in all, just one of the greats.
He was terrific. I mean, I, you know, my high school, I was in high school late 80s and then early into the 90s when I was in college. He was the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and Russ too, back then, it's going to sound weird for people who are younger than us. There was no ESPNU. I think ESPNU was starting.
Yeah.
There was an ESPN2, but there wasn't a watch ESPN. There wasn't an ESPN Plus. Every game wasn't broadcast. There was a game on Saturday night, it was a big damn deal.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
He was calling those games.
Yeah.
And there was only one of them. There wasn't a Fox game at night.
No, that was the game.
Right.
That
was the game. And he was calling it, and it was a big deal.
Well, it's just, you know, John Madden recently passed away. Yep. And I made this comment then when to me, when Pat Summerall and John Madden do a game together, that's what NFL football sounds like. Ron Franklin and Mike Gottfried, to me, is what college football sounds like.
I loved that duo.
Yeah.
And I just loved them. And, you know, Mike Gottfried was really good, and he was smart, and he was fun. And Ron was the perfect guy for that. He was straight, and he knew how to do the play-by-play. Your job as a play-by-play guy is to tell us what happened and then let the analysts talk. And that's what he did.
Yeah, and he was a good scene setter too. You know, yes. When they'd come on, they usually come in right out of the Sports Center. You're getting your highlights from the day, and then the music hits, and it's usually a bus pulling up to a stadium or players coming out of a tunnel, and he writes the voiceover for that little segment, and he was so good at it of just getting you ready to rock and roll. And it's just 80 years well lived there for Ron Franklin. There's no real updates on the portal today. This is, I guess, just going to be a daily segment. 8 players have entered the portal. Of note, you had Jelani Galloway from Boston College, Logan Kraut at Arizona, Andrew Boyle, Washington State. Those are some of the quote-unquote P5 players that have gone in. And we were talking about this yesterday. I was kind of joking because I kept hitting refresh and saying JT Daniels is not in the portal. Bobby called the afternoon show yesterday and made a really good point, and that is if JT Daniels has to finish classes to become eligible, because remember, he's already used his waiver, and that won't happen until the summer, you won't see his name in the portal until this summer. Now, will he make an official announcement ahead of that? I don't know.
Well, and he has till May to do this, so there's no...
If he goes in the portal now, he has to sit out a year.
Right, right.
But if he waits until the summer when he has his degree, he'll be immediately eligible.
True. Right, right, because he has transferred already.
Yep.
So... I don't know why, you know, the freak out about that was. There was no reporting. There was rumors, lots of rumors. And again, the odds are he won't be on the roster at Georgia next year. He won't be. But, you know, Russ, I liked the way he handled it at Georgia. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, why he wasn't playing, whatever that. But he supported Stetson Bennett.
Oh, all the way.
He never came out and was complaining. There's videos of him on the sideline a week ago now, Monday, you know, hugging Stetson Bennett, picking him up, celebrating. All that stuff, he did it the right way. Now, why did he not play? I don't know. But all this other stuff, you know, being a good teammate,
yeah,
he did that the
right
way.
Will we ever know? Here's the thing. I think we can boil it down to one or two things happening. And the rumor is that he, and again, this is a rumor, is that he was cleared to play by the UGA doctors, but his own doctor wouldn't let him play. And then the other rumor, or the other thought process, I don't know if this is as much a rumor, is like, regardless of what all of your opinions are on Stetson Bennett versus JT Daniels, that coaching staff just felt like Stetson Bennett was the better quarterback.
Right.
And that's what I was told in October. It was like, no, there's nothing going on here. They just think Stetson's better. And again, I don't know if we'll ever know which one is the truth.
I don't think we will, because I don't think he's going to come out and say anything. It doesn't do any good to say anything.
Well, there's no real – I mean, what's there to say?
What do you gain? And you know you're not going to hear it from the coaches.
Right.
So it's going to have to be him or somebody else on that team, and I don't think that's going to happen.
And it really – at this point after you win a national championship, it doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
No.
There's no controversy. There's nothing to discuss. They won the national championship. Everything checks out. It's, you know, if winning is the best deodorant, championships are the greatest deodorant. I mean, there's nothing to talk about.
There's all this stuff that if you hadn't won a championship that we'd be talking about right now. Coaches leaving. Why are these guys entering the portal? Why aren't the guys coming back to, you know, why are they going into the draft? The quarterback situation, you know, why didn't JT play? We're not talking about any of that stuff because they won a championship.
They won the championship. And I was saying, and I think I got something wrong here, because I was saying, you know, going into the game last Monday, I hope they win because ... or whatever. But now that, you know, we're sitting here on the Wednesday afterwards, and it's kind of – I mean, I'm sure if you're a fan, you're still euphoric. But it just the after the parade, it seems like everything just kind of died down because all those announcements came out on Friday. It's like, well, maybe if we needed them to lose, so this would be more of a controversy.
We need some drama.
there's really just – I mean,
come on, JT, come out and tell us what. Tell us the real truth. No, I'm kidding,
but no, yeah. But it's a conversation we'll have, and it's a very important conversation. Who's going to be the quarterback for the defending national champions? But I just think there's a level of intensity that is tamped down a little bit because they won the championship. Now, when we get to March and this thing's two or three months behind us, maybe it feels a little bit different. But right now, I think a lot of people are just still riding the high of winning that championship. And, you know, and from the chair I'm sitting in, it just seems like, you know, it's hard to complain about anything when you've just won a championship. Yeah, and I can go right back to the Braves, you know, a few months ago. And, you know, do I wish they had gotten a deal done with Freddie Freeman before the lockout? Yeah. But does the championship offset some of that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. A whole lot of it. Because if they hadn't won the title, I'd be pissed right now.
That is going to be one of the most interesting storylines in spring practice in the country. And, you know, I'm sure we'll do it at the Athletic. Stuart Mandel or Bruce Feldman or one of our national writers, other sites will do it. Top 10 storylines to watch in spring practice this year. I know we're going to do that, and everybody else is going to do it too. Georgia's quarterback situation is going to be one of them. Because who's going to be the quarterback? If Stetson's back, is he going to be the guy? And probably will going into spring practice, you would think. But he's like we've seen, Kirby is not going to guarantee him a spot. He's not going to guarantee anybody a spot. Nolan Smith said he's coming back next year, right? If Nolan Smith doesn't do what he's supposed to do in the spring and put in the work, and he's half blanking it around, can I say ASS?
No, we know what you mean. You're good. Carry on.
So, if he does that, Nolan Smith's not going to be a starter next year.
Right. You're right. But, he's a senior, so that's not going to happen.
He's going to put in the work, and he's a leader, and he's a good player. But if he comes back and just says, okay, I'm Nolan Smith, I'm going to start, no.
No.
And that's the same thing with the quarterback.
No, he's coming back. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, that's it. Look, it may sound selfish to some people, but he's coming back to make money in the NFL draft.
Yes.
It's not a selfish thing, because if he accomplishes that goal, then the wake that is left behind that is a very good season turned in by a pass rusher for the University of Georgia. So you're helping your team by doing that. I usually don't pay a whole lot of attention to spring football, but I think because of the turnover on the defensive side of the football, and obviously, as we said yesterday, getting Nolan Smith and Robert Beal back is huge. But the quarterback, we'll have something to talk about there. The running backs, we'll have something to talk about there. You know, the offensive line is worth watching, but, you know, I think there's enough experience coming back. You know, and I wonder, too, if Stetson Bennett is the quarterback and you've got most of your offensive line back, you've got Brock Bowers back, does this offense kind of take a step forward? Some people were worried about the offense, but, you know, they're going to be, in theory, at least on January the 19th, the experienced group that may have to kind of lead the way, especially those first few games of the season as they kind of the new faces on defense get their chemistry going.
Yeah, the offense, you know, look, George Pickens is gone. He's going to be in the draft. And he announced, right?
Yeah.
Did he announce? Yeah, he's gone. So there's going to be guys who are gone on offense. But if you have your quarterback back and you have the core of the offensive line back, I know some of those guys are gone too. It is going to be maybe a little bit of a growing period for the defense. But, Russ, that's college football.
Yeah.
That's life that's in everybody. College football.
Yeah. That's everybody. So, it's, you know, the season continues to churn. The conversations continue to be had. And I think now that all the initial announcements have come out, we just, you know, kind of have to be patient.
And we're past the deadline now. I mean, the deadline was Monday.
Yep.
So, this is the roster. Unless somebody transfers. And
we'll just keep refreshing the portal. Still sitting at 8 today.
And as soon as we know something about JT, we'll let you know.
And let me say, there were two more guys that went in yesterday that didn't have stars, Orlando Jones and Derek Green. Yeah, those young men, unfortunately, still haven't been able to pick up any stars. If you're wondering what we're talking about, Jermaine Short yesterday hit the portal about noon from East Tennessee State, headed to LSU. And we started the segment at noon, he was a 0-star, and we finished the segment at 10 after 12, and he was a 3-star. That might have been the best 10 minutes of his career.
Probably. Yep. I'd love to see that workout video.
That was something. All right, we'll take a break. As we do, we'll open up the phone lines. 478. Russ and Daniel back with you here. Midday Sports Zone. Phone lines open. 478-646-ESPN is the number. So Daniel got me hooked on this Wordle stuff today.
It's like crack, man.
Well, you can only do one a day.
You can.
That's it.
That's a good thing. And if you haven't done it, I mean, I'm telling you, you got to do it. It's a good thing that it's only one a day. Because if you could do multiple a day, or if you could do as many as you want a day, I'd be doing it constantly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get any work done.
That's true. But it's a great way. And if you don't know what it is, you have to guess a five-letter word, and just any word. And then it'll tell you, like, if your letter is right and in the right place, it'll be green.
Yep.
And if your letter is in the word but not in the right place, it's yellow.
And then if it's not in the word at all, it's gray.
It's gray, and you get five cracks
six.
At it.
You get six cracks. Picks.
Okay.
Right.
I feel like I should retire from Wordle, because the first time I ever did it, I got it on the second try.
That's right. I start with power every day.
That's really?
I just go power.
Okay.
Because there, you know, most words are going to have, you know, a lot of words are going to have an R or an E, and there's an O mixed in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So I start with that every day, and then I just go from there.
So can you, like, intentionally misspell words? So, like, if I put in...
If you put in something that's not a word, it beeps at you and says that's not a word.
So I couldn't put in, like, R-S-T-L-N-E.
No.
Okay.
No. No, believe me, I tried it.
And while we're talking about this, because we only have a few minutes left in the segment. Actually, you know what? Before we go off on that tangent, let's get to a phone call. 478-646-ESPN. Kirkland's in Macon. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You doing all right?
Hey, yo. Doing great, man. What's up?
Pretty good?
Good. Hey, man, I got a question and a statement, man. Hey, man, Vanderbilt, man, how in the world they even sniff the SEC? And the statement is, hey, well, that was just plain arrogant and disgusting, man, not letting the student come to the game, man, make them watch the game, celebrate the game, cheer for the game virtually and stuff, man. That, the arrogance just reaps out of that, man. What do you guys think, man?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, it's a story that came through. They made the students watch the game virtually. None of the students were able to buy tickets and get in the game. And I don't know, man. It's crazy, man.
You mean the championship story. Game or what? Which game?
The game last night, the basketball game.
Oh. I hadn't heard that.
I don't know what it
is. I'll have to check on that, Kirk. I don't know. I mean, you know, they I'm not sure.
That's why I figured Daniel probably know that and stuff, man. But yeah, Daniel, it's true, man. It's crazy, though, man.
What school? Which game?
Vanderbilt, the game last night they played. Who they play last night?
Tennessee.
Yeah, you'll see it. I mean, it's a blow up about it right now, man. It's crazy, man. It's just arrogance, man. It's the best.
Yeah, I don't know what Tennessee. I mean, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is. They're not ever going to compete in football, I don't think, in the SEC. They do compete in other sports. I mean, they've got the best baseball program. They got the best baseball program in the country. They have competed in basketball in the past. But there's always got to be one. I mean, like Duke in the ACC. Duke's never going to be good in the ACC in football.
Right.
But
well, Vanderbilt's there for academics and baseball.
That's right.
I mean, that's exactly right. That's all the period. I mean, I think are
they? And they're okay with that.
Yeah.
Because of how much money they get.
Right. Yeah.
Not a problem. I didn't know that about the.
I'm not seeing anything
about
on
the basketball game last night.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Hey, Kirkland, if you can't. Tweet that to us or something, because we're not seeing it.
We'll see. We'll see if we can find something on that. 478-646 ESPN. Bobby's in Macon. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Russ. Hey, Daniel. How you all doing today?
Good.
What's up, bud?
One quick comment about the portal. Russ, we talked yesterday, but, you know, I forgot to mention the only thing about it that I don't like is, and then I don't know, but I wish the coaches or would have a sit down or a conversation with the parents before these kids make the decision. A lot of times, you know, there's the argument that if coaches can do it, kids can do it. But coaches have $3 and $4 million buyouts, and they get paid when they make these decisions. And, you know, so they got something to fall back on. And when kids make these decisions, you know, they've been told they're the greatest thing in the world, and they go to college and they don't start as a freshman. And then the next semester or the next school year, they want to transfer. But what they fail to remember is, you know, they didn't just earn those scholarships. Their parents had to put in a lot of money and a lot of time and efforts to go to camps and that things and all these, you know, unofficial visits and this stuff that it cost the parents a lot of money to secure these kids scholarships at the finest universities. And a lot of times when they transfer, you know, you end up like, you know, a guy like Trey Bishop that went to Georgia. And he ended up playing at Albany State. And no offense to Albany State, but I play SIAC football. And that's not what you get at the University of Georgia. You know, and the scholarships are not always just the kids, because the parents put in a lot of effort and a lot of money to secure those scholarships. And, you know, when those kids just get mad and say, well, I'm not getting the playing time, and transfer, and you know, it don't always have a happy ending to it.
Yep. No doubt. Hey, Bobby, appreciate the phone
Thanks,
call.
Bobby.
I mean, it's just, these are uncharted waters, and it's, you know, you just have to figure it out. And like I said yesterday, you just have to hope that the coaches or somebody in the student athlete's life has the right interest or the right thing in mind. Because look, there's still 600 kids in the portal. I mean, the music's going to stop, and somebody's not going to have a place to play football. That's going to happen. Yep. That's the risk you take.
That's the worst part of this, is there's not enough spots for all these names. There's just not. And when does it slow down? I think it will slow down eventually, but a lot of these players are getting bad advice. And like Bobby said, maybe some of these coaches, I'm sure some of the coaches are reaching out to the families, but there's got to be a better way to help these players find a spot that works for them or stay where they are. One of those two things have to happen.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find any. The only thing I'm finding about the basketball is that I guess Vanderbilt didn't allow students to go to the game, but the only article I'm finding is on a fan website. I guess some people are still emotional about decisions like that, but I don't.
Was it because of COVID?
I guess. Okay. I don't. Again, there's nothing really out there about that. We'll keep looking. 478-646 ESPN, back with more right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1.
Hour number two of the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you here. Phone lines open 478-646 ESPN. Wherever you want to go in the world of sports is A-OK with us. Well, we talked a little NFL draft, a little NBA/college basketball, a little college football. And now we'd love to hear from you. Let's start with Ken in Cumming. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are too, and happy hump day.
Happy what day?
Hump day.
Oh, hump day. Yeah.
Hump day. Sorry, I'm in the car.
Oh, you're good.
It's Atlanta. Okay. Say, I love mock drafts. You know that. I feel bad introducing you to that. So, you know what, Russ, if you get a moment, you want to tweet that out to your listeners and let them use that app. Cause,
oh, yeah,
you can lose about 2 hours a day on that app, can't you?
Oh, there, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Ken's talking about a mock draft simulator, and oh my gosh, I mean that's all we're going to do between now and April, probably.
Well, because Georgia doesn't have a good basketball team, so that's probably about it.
Nobody in the state does.
Golly, I mean, I heard you earlier, and that's just pathetic. Yeah. I don't get that, but you know, hey, talking about the mock draft, you know. The Falcons just refuse to take Georgia players. We all know that. But I say that in jest. But you got to give Terry Fontenot some credit. Russ, Daniel, there are all kinds of Georgia players that could fill some huge holes for this team. And first and foremost, and I've beat this drum already, Jordan Davis needs to be our first pick. I'm serious. And you know what? If he's taken, look at the options. You said it earlier, Trevon Walker, Nakobe Dean. I mean, heck fire, even Lewis Seen would be a great second or third round pick. I've been reading a lot of trash, you know, all this stuff about rumors and whatnot. And, you know, I don't think Ridley's coming back to the Falcons. And there's a lot of thought that maybe the Falcons could get a second or a third round pick for Ridley, which if they could, you know, something's better than nothing. But if you get a second round pick at the top of the second round, how do you not take a George Pickens? Right? I mean, Trevon Walker.
Yeah.
I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, I know, but there's a lot of options that if they make the right player, I think that they can really help their PR.
I'll say this. I see, and I hear what you're saying, and I know that's the theory that's out there. I'm telling you right now, if they can draft all the Georgia players they want to, Ken, if they don't win, nobody's going to care.
Oh, there's no doubt. No, I mean, you can't
draft that way. You just can't.
I know. And listen, it's close to my heart. But I guess what I was trying to say, and I didn't do a very good job of it, which is not new, that, you know, there's talent there. So in the past, it's sure. like you want to wish a player into a certain position in the draft,
yeah.
right, because you like them. I guess what I'm trying to say is now the talent backs up the fact that they could be drafted
sure.
in the second or third round. It makes sense.
Oh, right? If they move on from a Deion Jones and N'Kobe Dean's day pick at number 8, I'd love that. I just think you're getting a very similar player. If you pair Jordan Davis with Grady Jarrett, I would absolutely love that. But if Terry Fontenot goes into this saying we're going to draft Georgia players, you know, and you don't win, case in point, I mean, they signed Todd Gurley. By the end of the year, the team sucked. Nobody cared about the Falcons.
Terry Fontenot's going to be out of a job
yeah.
if he doesn't.
I mean, you can't do that.
A couple things, Ken. You didn't point it out well. So,
yes, he did.
We're used to that.
My comprehension sucks. He was fine.
Jordan Davis is listed on Dane Brugler's draft as the 23rd pick. On Mel Kiper's draft, he's listed as the 17th pick. I thought he'd be a top 5 pick.
Well, I think with Davis, because he's an interior guy, that's
Probably.
Where he's getting dinged.
And he doesn't play the whole game.
Right. So, he's not a pass rusher.
But, yeah, Ken, I'm with you, man. If I can get a second-round pick for Calvin Ridley, I'm jumping at that in a second. Because I don't think you're going to get a second-round pick for him. Yeah, a George Pickens would be a good pick. Ken, right now there's talent for Georgia that fits, and it's not just wishful thinking by Georgia fans. Oh, I wish the Falcons would draft this guy when he wasn't good enough, and B, there wasn't a fit. There are good enough players now, and they are fit, so it probably could work out, and you're not doing it just to appease the hometown fans.
Well, guys, thanks for taking the call. Y'all be safe. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Appreciate you. You too, man. And Pickens I'm hesitant about, too, just because you just dealt with Julio Jones.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with Calvin Ridley. I need to know George Pickens has matured. I mean, throwing water, the water bottle stuff with the Tennessee game, the fight in the Georgia Tech game. I just need to know.
And is he 100% healthy, too?
Yeah. I think that checks out. He was able to play. He made some big plays.
He did.
There's the talent. There's no doubting the talent, you know, And he's going to get dinged for speed, his 40 time.
Right.
I don't think that matters for a receiver.
I don't think it does
if
either.
If you're a good route runner, I don't think your 40 time is as big a deal as people make it out to be.
And look, I know he's the extreme at the top level. Jerry Rice was not ever the fastest guy on the field until they put on pads and started to play the game. And he was two steps ahead of everybody else because he ran his routes so precisely. It wasn't about straight line speed. How many times do you run 40 yards in an NFL game straight? How many times does that happen in a game?
Usually by the time you
Twice?
Get to the point where you can run in a straight line, you've already, you know, you're into the clear and
right.
you're backpedaling into the end zone, right? I mean,
Twice in a game, yeah. maybe?
I know 40 times it's like the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. It's what everybody's going to pay attention to. It's the beauty contest. But it doesn't. I mean, how much does that really? Running backs, receivers. You know, maybe a defensive back for recovery speed. You know, which you're trying to figure that out. I know with the offensive linemen, they say they're watching the first like 10 yards just to see what their explosiveness is like. You
right.
know, that makes a lot of sense. So. If you can run routes really well, it doesn't matter how fast you're doing it, you're going to get open.
Doesn't matter how big you are, doesn't matter how fast you are. If you can run route, if you can get open, you can get open. And look, Calvin Ridley's not going to be back. They're not going to pay him to come back. They're not going to give him a new deal. And I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't. I mean, if he needed this year to figure out what was going on with him mentally, that's what he should do. But they've got to figure out what's best for the team, and you want to do what's you want to be do right by him too, because he has been a good player for you. But if what's best for him and what's best for you is him not being on the team, then go make a trade and get something for him. Whatever you can get for him. You're not going to get a, it's not, oh, we're going to get a first-round pick for Calvin Ridley. I'll be shocked if they get a first-round pick for Calvin Ridley. And I know he's a first-round talent. But he is. But he's a wide receiver. We talk about this all the time, Russ.
Yeah.
All the time. I heard this morning talking about the 49ers-Cowboys game. Is why didn't the Cowboys get CeeDee Lamb the ball more? You know why? Because Dak Prescott was running for his damn life.
I mean, you're right. It's
why did we do this?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no earthly idea.
You can get
whatsoever.
By with good receivers if you're really good everywhere else. You don't have to have, quote, elite receivers. You don't have to take the top off the defense. You don't. If you've got a good offensive line and a good quarterback and a good running game, you can get by with receivers.
Yeah.
Dime a dozen.
Tom Brady's made a career out of it.
Tom Brady, I mean, I know he had Randy Moss for that.
Right, he's got Mike Evans now.
Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame guy.
No doubt.
And he's really the first one, other than Randy Moss for that little short time, that Tom Brady's had who is a true Hall of Fame receiver.
Yeah. 20-year career.
And most people
think he's the best ever. Notice I said most people and think. He's the best ever.
He's the most productive. There's no doubt about that.
So, this is why we love mock drafts. And you know, like you're saying about with the Falcons, there's a lot of needs. They don't need a quarterback. Well, in the short term.
They need a successor.
It would be, I'm not anti.
But I don't know
second
his successor is in this draft.
Well, that's the other thing too. Well, what did they feel? How do they feel about Josh Rosen and Felipe Franks? I mean, I know it sounds like a long shot. It probably is a long shot, but I'm sure there's been some evaluation there about his potential or their potential as a future quarterback for this team. So, and because of Ryan Tannehill, you know, Arthur Smith's always going to be linked to that, finding that veteran guy that didn't pan out. You know, in Miami, but now he's the quarterback of the number one seed in the AFC. So,
people will say, well, Derrick Henry missed most of this season.
Yeah, so did Julio Jones.
That's right. And they still, and I know they've got a really damn good defense.
Well,
but Ryan Tannehill has played well this year.
There's nothing wrong with playing good defense and efficient offense
and being smart on offense. Not at all.
When you a national championship in college.
Yes, it will.
478-646 ESPN. JJ's in Lazella. Hey, JJ.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Hope you are, man.
You know, I hope general manager listen to you guys. You know, Falcons, first thing, you take care of the line of scrimmage. And those guys out there on the perimeter and running, you take care of the line of scrimmage. That's where it started. Like I said, you Falcons, first pick, you got to get the best edge rusher you can find. You know, that's where it started. And second, you got to get you a corner. And but my thing is, guys, like I was asking myself, when will the Falcons really start competing to be serious again? Will it be during the time of Grady and 45, or will it be at when they, especially Grady, at the end of his time? So when do you decide to utilize what you can get for him while he's at the top, or you can wait to it, you know, till it's too late? I love Grady, but will it benefit the Falcons? If you can find something, you can get some players, some draft picks, which you need to start building your team. And my thing has always been from the inside out.
Yep.
You got to get the line of scrimmage and then everything else, both sides of the ball, it takes care of itself. You waste a lot of picks on that offensive line, which hadn't panned out.
Yep. No, hey, Jay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. But that's just me, man. Like I said, my thing was right at the Super Bowl, I said, trade the quarterback and Julio Jones right now because you'll never be back to Super Bowl with them. That top of the game, get the best you can for them, the most you can for them, and start looking forward to the future. But no, they hang on to players too long. And like I said, Ridley, he'll never play for me again. You know, I don't want this stuff like this young man play for the Nets. So you open a can of worms where these guys want to play when they want to play, and no, I don't need that.
Yeah.
So let's get serious, man. Let's build up the cash. Let's build up the, you know, like that guy in New England do. Build up those draft picks. You know, use guys, use the best you got to get more, that when it's time to roll, you have some young guys ready to roll together. That's all I'm saying, man.
Hey, JJ, appreciate
great
the call, man.
JJ.
Good point.
Great call. JJ, I mean, call of the year. So.
Yeah, we got to take a break. We'll come back, talk about what JJ had to say, that and more as we continue right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley, where the phone lines are open. 478-646 ESPN. Something JJ touched on his call there in that last segment that has just kind of jumped out to me that I think is a really interesting thought, and that is, should the Falcons trade Grady Jarrett? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you can get, you know, whatever your return is, if they trade Grady Jarrett, they save $16.5 million in cap space. You're probably going to get a pretty high draft pick for him. And I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things you know, but you kind of don't really think about until I pulled up his over the cap page. Grady Jarrett's 29 years old.
Yeah, it seems like he's hasn't been around that long, but he has. I mean, he's already been around for a while. And, you know, Jeff pointed out, he said at worst, the Falcons will have to pay him $23 million this year, and they'll have the franchise tag as leverage in 2023. We'll see. Would you trade him? Would you trade? I mean, JJ said Calvin Ridley would never play for him again. You know, we'll see. If you trade Matt Ryan before June, it's a $40 million dead money hit. If you trade him after June, it's $24.9 million. So the Matt Ryan stuff's not going to happen, if it happens, until after June. So, I mean, if you had Grady Jarrett, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, which one of those guys is on the team next year? Of them? All of them? Two of them?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. Because with Calvin Ridley, you would have to trade him,
right?
If you cut him, it's $11 million in dead cap. If you trade him, it frees up $11 million. But the other 31 teams know that, so you're not going to get value for trading Calvin Ridley. But you will get a pick in cap.
Right. Rate. If you can get a second round pick, you do. You'll probably get a fourth round pick.
Yeah. I don't think you're getting a second. I mean, maybe. I mean, they. I'm surprised they got what they got out of the Titans for Julio Jones.
Too. So I was shocked.
So maybe Terry Fontenot can work some of that magic again and fleece somebody out of a draft pick, which would be great. I wouldn't give up more than a fourth or fifth round pick. It'd be a Saturday pick. I mean, for a guy that – I mean, you have to trade him. You can cut him, but it's a zero-sum game. You just lose a player if you cut him. Because it's – I mean, you free up $11 million in cap space, but it's still $11 million in dead money. I mean, it's a 0-0. So you just – a talented player walks out the door. You don't get anything for him. I think you stick with Matt Ryan. Because again, this team's already carrying $15 million in dead money into 2022. I don't think you want to throw another $20 million on top of that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the dead money. I mean, if I'm going to keep Matt Ryan, I mean, if I'm going to have Matt Ryan's money on the board, I think I'll just keep him for. When does his contract run out? Do you know? It's not after this year, right? It's not after 2020.
I think it's after 23. I'm pulling up.
I think it's after 23.
Information now.
But
so his contract runs out, yeah, after 23. And then, you know, if you get into 2023, I mean, he's still got a pretty good, that bonus is still pretty big, but it just obviously would be less of a, if you cut him, it's 15.6 in dead cap with 28 in savings. That's next year. Like right now, if you were to trade Matt Ryan, well, we already know you'd have to trade him post June 1, so let's just jump right into that. If you trade Matt Ryan post June 1, it's $23 million total in cap savings. So his $40 million come off the books, but you still got 24.9 on the books.
Dead. Right.
Of dead money. And if you tack that onto the 15 they're already carrying,
that's $40 million.
You'd be playing 22. I mean, you're playing 2022 with, you know, a lot of dead cap space.
Right.
That, so you're at a, you're going to be at a disadvantage. So if you feel like Matt Ryan can still play, I think it would be more fiscally wise to keep him on the team.
And I think he still can play as long as you keep him upright.
Well,
and how do you do that?
It's a big
you
if.
Fix the damn offensive line.
But that's not going to happen in the draft.
Well, it's not going to happen in the draft, but you could, I mean, you can, if you draft right, it can, you can help the offensive line in the draft. You can find somebody in free agency. I know they can't pay a lot of money in free agency, but they, I mean, that's what Terry Fontenot did in, with the Saints. He found guys who helped out.
Right. Well, I just hope, I just hope the fan realizes, like, the bind that the previous regime had you in.
And what are your expectations? This team, was it JJ that asked, when are they going to, or was it Bobby? I think it might have been Bobby. When are they really going to compete? It's not going to be for a couple more years.
Probably 23, 24 at the earliest.
Right.
Which is, and again, to go back to JJ's theory to trade Grady Jarrett, I think that's why it's a really good idea. It's like, you know, by 2024, Grady Jarrett's going to be what? 31, 32 years old,
right.
You know, and I'm not saying you can't still play at 32, but it's the same thing. That's the tricky part you're in with Matt Ryan, and that's what sucks about having to constantly restructure his contract because nobody else on the team would do it, is you've reached a point where it just doesn't make any sense to cut Matt Ryan.
Well, and Grady Jarrett was one of the guys who wouldn't renegotiate.
Right.
At least that's the talk. And can you play – how many guys play – on the interior of the defensive line into their mid-30s? Not many. Not many. So do you want to give him a contract? What? Do you want to renegotiate his contract now and give him a new deal? At 29, you know, we talk about, Russ, the successful NFL teams always – move on from players probably a year too early. And they get everything they can out of them. And then when it's time, they take the heart out of it and they think with their head. And they'll move on. And they'll trade a guy maybe earlier than we think they should. But then they're not stuck with a bad contract.
Right. Well, and that's what the Falcons have right now, are a lot of bad contracts that are – well, really the bad contracts for the most part are gone.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get out of it. But we'll see. I am – wow, I did not wake up this morning thinking I'd be on the trade Grady Jarrett bandwagon, yet here we are. Which, to go back to Ken's call, I mean, Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can't
believe he's not a top 10.
Well, he's an interior defensive lineman. That's look, is he a quarterback?
No, he's not.
Does he sack the quarterback?
He's not a tackle. He's not.
Does he protect the quarterback?
No, he's not.
Then he's going to be a mid-first round pick.
And you don't know how much he could play in an NFL game, too. You know, I mean, how many is he come off the field every third down like he did in college?
Well, he'll play a higher percentage of the snaps.
Yeah,
because people don't run hurry up offense in the NFL, and the timing's different, so the games are shorter.
Right.
So he'll play a higher percentage of snaps.
But is he automatically come off the field on third down like he did at Georgia? I don't know.
He might.
Yeah, he might. He's a damn monster on those first two downs, though.
If you can get me to 3rd and 7, we'll find somebody to come in and rush the passer. I mean, you can't have one without – you got to stop them. You got to get to 3rd and long first.
Yes.
You know, what's good about having all these pass rushers if it's 3rd and 2, right? I mean, hey.
That doesn't do you any good, does it?
I'm not putting him in the middle of the draft because he doesn't rush the passer.
Oh, my God.
That's just what
right
the NFL
now.
Does.
That's right.
Oh,
I'll
man.
Take him on my team any day of the week.
I thought he was the best player in college football, so –
I did, too. If he wasn't, he was in the mix. I thought for sure he was going to be a Heisman finalist.
Well, he's not an offensive player.
That's exactly right.
And he doesn't return kicks.
And he doesn't rush the quarterback.
Maybe Kirby should have put him back there on some punt returns.
He did let him score a touchdown.
Right?
He scored a touchdown against Charleston Southern.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. All right, we're going to take a break. 478-646-ESPN. The phone lines are open. 478-646-ESPN. Wherever you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. And we're back with more of the Midday Sports Zone right after this. 1230, Russ and Daniel back with you here, Midday Sports Zone. Phone lines open. 478-646-ESPN. anywhere you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. A few things from Twitter here. Tony asked, would you trade back in the draft? Always. The answer is always trade back in the draft, especially this year, because it seems like there's a lot of like first-round type talent in this draft, but there's not a lot of like early first-round talent. So you might have – I'm just kind of throwing numbers out there, but say you might have 45 guys that are first-round type players, but you don't really – you only have two or three guys that are top 10 type players. So if you can get out and trade back, yeah, I think that's where the value is.
Yeah, I think this is a good draft. I think it's a deep draft, but I don't know that it's like one where you've got to get into the top five. And we've seen some of those drafts before where you've got to get into the top five. Well, and again, you're not – and if there was like a quarterback in the top five where you went, okay, if we get that guy, he's Matt Ryan's successor. Then maybe you trade up to that spot. But there's not one of those guys. No,
that guy's not there. As I've said all along, Matt Corral is the one that intrigues me. But with that ankle injury now, I don't even know where that stands. And then Kirkland sent us this. He had kind of the call earlier about the Vanderbilt stuff. So apparently Vanderbilt's not allowing students to go to games. But people can go. You can go to a Vanderbilt basketball game unless you're a student.
Right. Apparently, and I got a message from a friend of mine, said they are trying to, quote, protect the student body. I guess that's so they don't get sick
so
to the game. And
they don't care about everybody else.
I guess.
That seems kind of strange. Yeah. I mean, that's either you're in or you're out, right? I mean, that's kind of riding the fence a little bit. I don't get that. But whatever. I guess the guy that does the morning show we carry on the station always seems to have a bone to pick with Vanderbilt being in the SEC. So I guess if you guys are up and early listening, that's where a lot of that stuff's going to come from.
I mean, I don't know that that's the hill I want to die on that I care about enough.
Well, I'll just say it very simply. Here's what I don't understand. It's like. Kayvon Thibodeau says what he says about an Alabama education, and everybody gets offended and bent out of shape, but then you want to kick Vanderbilt out of the conference because all they are is academic. It's like you one way or the other. Pick a lane here.
Right, right.
Pick a lane.
And if you're
sensitive because you think people outside of the South think you're dumb because you're a Southerner, just screw them. We know better.
I know what people think of in the North when they hear my accent. I know what they think. Most of what they think is not true. Some of it probably is. But it's not all true. But I don't give a damn either.
I don't care what they think.
What they think is not going to impact my life. Oh, I don't know why we spend so much time worrying about what people think of us who have no impact on our lives.
I really don't care. Right. Just move on.
Right.
478-646-ESPN. Charles is in Macon. Hey, Charles, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I want to make a comment on the Hawks and the Falcons.
All right.
I'm disappointed with the general management of the trades and the moves that they haven't made and the one they have made. With the Hawks need a center that can score. You know, our players should be able to play defense, but they do not have a center that can score. They signed this guy extension on his contract. And come on. But anyway, and to the Falcons. Matt Ryan contract need to be removed off the books. It need to be removed off the books. Let's start this thing over. Let's get this thing right. Yeah. They need a young quarterback that can scramble. And they need a better offensive line and some cornerbacks. But Matt Ryan, I appreciate what he has did for the Falcons, but it's time for him to go.
Hey, Charles, appreciate the call, man.
Thanks, Charles.
Yeah, easier said than done on Matt Ryan. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you can't just – there's a salary cap.
You can't just cut him because it's a – like we said, it's a $40 million cap hit. If you trade him, you still – if you trade him now, it's a $40 million hit. If you trade him after June, you got $25 million on your cap for this season that you can't use. So you're 23 and the 15 for Julio.
The 15 that's already there for Julio,
You're at $38 million on this year's team that you won't be able to use. So you're playing with one hand tied behind your back. And Josh Rosen or Felipe Franks is probably your starting quarterback this year.
Right.
That's just the way things are
right.
for this year's team. the thing about Capella, I think they've got enough guys who can score. They need effort guys.
Well, they just need Capella, I think, to get healthy.
Well, that's true.
I mean, that's part of it, too. And then, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns tonight comes to town. There's a big man that can score. But how many centers in the NBA this day and age are scorers?
Not many. And how many guys? There's only one ball, you know, with Trey and John Collins.
Yeah.
And all these guys who – Bogdanovich, all these guys who are scorers. I mean, at some point, you asked Chris yesterday, do they have too much depth?
Yeah.
Too many good players. I don't think you can have
too
much
depth. I mean, Cam Reddish thought so.
Right. Yeah. But there's too many guys who want the ball. I'd love to have a guy who can play defense, rebound, set picks, and doesn't want the ball or doesn't care about the ball. You need some of those guys, and that's what Capella does. He's just got to get healthy. Okongwu's got to get healthy too. And when he is, he's going to be a really damn good player.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to start to see the Hawks play a little bit better.
I hope so. I am curious to see what happens tonight. I think it's a good test. Minnesota's coming in. They're right around 500, beat the Knicks last night. And Onyeka Okongwu in particular, is he ready to step up into a bigger role as I don't want to say enforcer, but that type of player? I mean, he had a comment. I just saw this a few minutes ago. And the game's changed, so you have to – you know, for with us older people, you have to be a little bit patient because we're going to laugh when we read this because the game's not the way it was in the 90s. But he did say, I'm going to guard whoever. I'm a dog. I'm physical. I'll foul. It's what I do. Like, that's what they need. That is exactly the attitude the Hawks need.
They need some gritty, dirty kind of guys who will just do whatever needs to be done to win games because they don't have a lot of that.
Yeah. No, they don't. 478-646 ESPN. Jeremy in Memphis. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good. How are y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Let's talk a little bit about the Falcons. So you know, Russ, I told you and Bill before the season started that their Falcons' schedule is going to be trash this year, so they will win more than they should. And if you look at next year's schedule, so this year, I mean, they play the Giants, Washington, Jacksonville, Detroit. I mean, if you suck this year, you're on the Falcons' schedule. It just, you know, you just were. But if you look at next year, they got at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, at the Rams, at Seattle, where it's a tough place to play. They host San Francisco. They host Pittsburgh and made their playoffs. They host the Chargers. They host Cleveland, who is decent. I mean, there's no bad teams out of conference on the schedule hardly next year outside the division. I mean, they play the Redskins, but that's it. It's a brutal schedule next year. So in light of that, I mean, I don't think they win more than 4 or 5 games next year. I mean, but in light of that, I missed the first part of what the caller was saying. We talked about Grady Jarrett. But Grady Jarrett has 1 year left on his contract. With that schedule they have next year, they're not winning anything. So trade him for whatever you can get, because with 1 year left on his contract, then he's not going to win football games for you next year enough to get you to the playoffs with that schedule. So he absolutely has to go. And then also, I mean, the thing with Matt Ryan, it's been talked about a lot, but I mean, let him play this year, and then next year after June the 1st, it's only a $15 million hit against the salary cap. That's it. He has 1 year on his contract, which would be 2023. See what you can get as far as draft picks. You should be able to get something for him, and you just take a $15 million hit. So move him after June the 1st next year, but move Grady Jarrett this year. But with that schedule, Russ, I don't know if you win 4 games next year.
Yeah. No, Jeremy, appreciate the call. No, I've definitely moved into that. I think it's a good time to move on from Grady Jarrett. And I hadn't even looked at that schedule, Jeremy. But do me a favor next year now. If they do win 4 games, don't complain because they're a 4-win team, because this year you won't give them credit for being a 7-win team. you got to play it both ways now.
And they did win a lot of games this year against bad teams.
Oh, they did, absolutely.
Those games count.
They do. But no, Jeremy's right. This is not – this. Look, 2022 is going to be a lot like 2021. Yes. And if Grady Jarrett's 29 years old and you can save $16 million in cap space and get draft picks for him, now's the time. That's what a rebuild is. And when the opportunities present itself to move on from veteran players with big contracts, that's what you do. I don't think – and because Matt Ryan's 37 years old, when you want to start talking about cornerstone players in the future, let's talk about A.J. Terrell. Let's talk about Kyle Pitts. You know, that's where that is right now. And that's a corner and a tight end. So you got a lot of work to do to build this roster.
Yeah, neither one of them on the lines at all. I mean, that's kind of scary. But, I mean, I loved Grady Jarrett. Believe me, as a Clemson guy, he's one of my favorites. But I think Jeremy's right. I never would have thought Grady Jarrett would be the answer to any question. But there is that
makes
part
a lot
out
of sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
And, he's probably going to be a guy, too, who wants to go play for a winner. He had the one time where, you know, he probably, if they win the Super Bowl, he's probably the Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
The way he played in that game. So that was really the one time he's gotten to that spot or even deep into the playoffs. He's not going to want to go through what this team's going to have to go through for the next couple of years. I mean, he's a guy that, like, great point, Jeremy. He's the perfect guy to trade, like we said, smart NFL teams trade guys too early, not too late. They don't hang on to them too long. They move on from them when most of us would think, oh, that's too early. Why would you move on from them now? Well, this is why.
Yeah.
Because of the salary cap. Yep. If there was no salary cap, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
Oh, yeah. Then we'd probably move on from Matt Ryan. I mean, you know, and so that's why I want to point that out, too, because a lot of people that are saying now's the time to move on from Matt Ryan. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just saying from a financial standpoint, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And that's two different conversations in my mind. You know, do you really essentially want to take on, you're already $15 million in dead cap. Do you want to make that, you know, well, you're not going to do it pre-June 1 because that'd be almost $50 million in dead cap. I don't even know how you field a team at that point. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Terry Fontenot inherited a mess. You know, I really don't believe that he knew how bad it was until he got here.
Probably not.
I'll be honest with you, it still irks me that Rich McKay is wandering around that front office because he was a part of that. He was one of the ones that said, no, we're not in salary cap hell. Yeah, you are. And now we're having to deal with the fallout from it.
He's one of the big pieces of the puzzle that doesn't fit, and yet he's still around.
But that stadium's nice, though.
Look, he did a great job getting the stadium built. They got a Super Bowl.
We're give credit where credit's due kind of show.
That's why he kept that job, is to build that stadium.
And I think they did a tremendous job. But we are in salary cap hell.
Yes.
478-646-ESPN. We'll wrap it up right after this. 12:47, Russ and Daniel wrapping it up here on this Wednesday afternoon. Now, I had to step out during the commercial break, so I walked back into a pretty heated discussion about something. And you were bitching about Elvis?
No. Chucklehead over here starts complaining that LL Cool J was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And he goes, he's not rock and roll. And I said, how many bands or acts, I don't even think some of them are musicians. I think some of them are more just acts. Don't you have to play an instrument to be a musician?
Technically, I would say yes.
So a lot of these acts aren't rock and roll. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is really a music hall of fame.
Okay.
And he's screaming about LL Cool J. And I said, do you think Billy Joel is rock and roll?
Ooh, okay.
And he said hybrid. Well, then does he get in? And then he started hemming and hawing and I backed him into a corner.
See, and this is why I don't get
it. And I said Elvis, because I don't think.
Oh,
Elvis,
don't.
Elvis.
He's an entertainer.
He was an act.
Yes.
Right. He was an act.
One of the greatest of all time.
He was an act.
Yes.
Exactly.
Is that fair enough? No, here's the thing, because we could be doing this about baseball, too, because that's all there is to talk about is the Hall of Fame ballot. I don't pay attention to Halls of Fame anymore.
No, you don't. Yeah, you really don't.
I can always point to something. You know why I don't pay attention to Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? Because Andrew Jones isn't in it. That may be getting ready to change. Del Murphy's not in it. We'll see. NFL Hall of Fame, I'm a Falcons fan. There's a handful of guys like Mike Ken that if they have the same career in New York for the Giants, they're in the Hall of Fame.
Steve Barkowski, if he played for the Jets, he'd have been in the Hall
of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
When you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's page and you pull up the list of people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's in alphabetical order. Do you know who's number one on the list?
ABBA.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
That was just a guess.
You're right.
And ABBA is If anything is not rock and roll,
it's ABBA.
Right. ABBA is its own category.
I don't even know. Right. I was going to say, I don't even know what ABBA is. But it ain't rock and roll.
There should be an ABBA Hall of Fame that's just ABBA, and it's probably in Sweden or somewhere. So, ABBA's ABBA. But no, ABBA's not rock and roll. So, I mean, it really is the Music Hall of Fame, is what it is.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
But don't pick out LL Cool J. LL Cool J is the man. LL Cool J is...
See, kids, before he was an actor on CBS dramas, he made records in the 80s.
Ladies love Cool James.
The dumbest name ever.
And his name's not even James. His name is Todd.
Well, my aunt met him one time and said he was a super nice guy.
Oh, everything I've ever heard of him. His first name is James. His name is James Todd Smith. Does that sound like a rapper's name? I guess that's why he went with LL Cool J.
That's why he went with LL Cool J. Yes.
But his grandmother calls him Todd. No, I love LL Cool J. I'm a big fan. So. But anyway, yeah, no, the Rock and Roll Halls of Fame are silly.
I think for an individual to be inducted into any Hall of Fame, you know, for fans of that team, for family members, that's something that should be celebrated. But as far as being one of these that gets into the debates about who should and shouldn't be in, that's more political than what you did on the field. So as a sports fan, I mean, I have my opinions, and but I don't really get bent out of shape about it like I used to, just because it ain't always about sports,
right?
And you know, so like, it stems from growing up a fan of Atlanta pro sports teams and knowing that the reason that your guys aren't in the Hall of Fame is because nobody paid attention to sports down here. Whereas if you were in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles, a lesser career gets in. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It is what it is. And if I was a LA sports fan or a New York sports fan, I probably wouldn't care, but I'm not. I'm an Atlanta sports fan, so it bothers me.
Well, I mean, and we all have guys who we're fans of who we think should be in the Hall of Fame. I think Jimmy Rollins is a lockdown Hall of Famer. An MVP, led a team to the World Series, went to another World Series, had a great career, played defense, did everything. But there's a huge debate whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. Right. I'm like, how is that guy not a Hall of Famer?
Right, I'm with you. No, it's like with Andrew Jones for me, and somebody made this point. If Ozzie Smith's a Hall of Famer, how is Andrew Jones not a Hall of Famer?
Andrew Jones 100% is a Hall of
Famer. I mean, how is his number not retired by the Braves?
Yes.
But we digress. I don't want to get into that. See what y'all – that's why I can't leave the room. I can't leave you two alone without getting into some stupid debate about meaningless stuff.
It got us through this last segment.
It did. It kind of did. So let's have some more trivia since you're doing so well. I don't even know if you'd call this trivia. It's a guessing game, really.
Okay.
Since we've been on the air, how many players have entered the portal?
Since we've been on the air?
Since we've been on the air since 11
o'clock. Now, there were eight
when I got here this morning. Yeah.
Seven.
Six.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're good at this.
I like to guess. I'm good at guessing. It takes no skill to guess.
No, it doesn't. And if you're good at it, you can.
I can guess.
You can win the lottery.
That's right.
You know, the who knows what could happen. The sky's the limit.
Any names we would know?
No, okay. nothing. I mean, there's we've got a kid from Southern Miss, Cole Hussing, a kicker from Michigan, an outside linebacker from Michigan State, Goatote?
Yes, from Michigan State.
I felt like I morphed into like Hank Hill when I said his last name.
I think you got it. I think Goatote. You were close. Yes, you were close.
That was weird. Anyway, so yeah, Demarius Good from UCF. Jonathan Shefford from Oklahoma State. But it's crazy. Ever since I started tracking this portal, it blows my mind. I mean, it just they're literally dozens of players every day going into the transfer portal.
And you know what there's not? There's not dozens of players finding spots.
No, there's not.
There's a couple, but there's not dozens. There's not nearly as many finding spots as there are entering the portal on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And that's discouraging. Because I want the, I mean, I want.
Well, we're just.
What's best for the player is not this.
No, this is not best for the player. But like we said, look, this is going to calm itself down on some level. And at that point, I think you start to address making this work. Because it's not. This ain't working.
No, it's not.
But you got to let all that one-time waiver stuff filter through and kind of let it get into the cycle. Because this, as we said yesterday, look, you've got freshmen all the way up to six-year players that have their one-time waiver for the first time. They haven't used it. The way it's going this year, by May, everybody will have used it. So you won't see as much activity moving forward. It's not everybody, but you won't see as much activity moving forward. And then once it kind of calms down, I think once you have a better understanding of what you're dealing with, because what's happening right now, this is not the norm. If nothing is done to change the transfer portal, if this is the way it's going to be, what's happening right now is not the norm. So I think you have to really kind of slow down and figure out what the norm is before we start to make a jump. But I think most people would agree this ain't it.
It's not this, and this is not sustainable either.
No.
It's not. It's not good for the A. It's not good for the players. B. It's not good for the programs.
It's not good for the sport.
It's not good for the fans. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for anybody involved. Other than, you know, look, a guy like Kenneth Walker, it worked out for Kenneth Walker. Great. But how many of those guys are there where it works out like that for Kenneth Walker, who was a good player at Wake? He became a great player at Michigan State. Heisman finalist. He's going to be a high draft pick. That's great. He's one in what, 1,000?
Yeah.
That it's going to work out like
well,
that.
Well, and as a head coach, how do you explain to the majority? Like, let's say, just hypothetically, you got 10 guys that want to go into the portal, and one of them is an upcoming junior that really has first-round potential, but he's just got a couple of guys in front of him. It's like, hey, man, you're probably not going to crack the starting lineup, but if you go somewhere and show them what you can do, you'll probably be a first-round pick. It's probably in your best interest to hit the portal, and then you have to turn around and say to the other 9 guys who feel like they're just as talented, but they can't get a crack at it, that's probably not good for you. Well, why not? It was good for him. Because it's every one of these names that we say, it's a completely different set of circumstances. I mean, we're joking about the number of people going in. 14 into the portal today, 14 different circumstances.
Yes. And Rico, it's Rico's time to shine in the Dr. Pepper commercials, and Rico left. So
I had no idea who you were talking about until you said Dr. Pepper commercial.
Rico's time to shine, baby. That's what he says when he jumps into the portal.
He jumps into the portal.
And then that damn punter comes out on the other side.
And he's got the six-pack of Dr. Pepper, so hey, let's rock and roll.
That's the perfect commercial because they say, Rico, you're only a sophomore. How do you know going somewhere else is going to work? But we don't know it's not going to work, too.
Well,
but
there's that.
But it is rare.
I think there are cases by the time you get to be an upperclassman, and you know how good you, especially at a top-tier program because you're going up against these guys in practice, you know how good you are. But if you're just not as good as the guys in front, you know, if the 12th pick and the 15th pick are in front of you and you're the 22nd pick, you want to go prove that to somebody.
Right.
You know? So it's just, again, there's a good answer in there somewhere. I'm not smart enough to know what it is. I feel like a little bit of patience and at some point putting more parameters on the win.
Right. There's got to be windows.
Yeah.
Because that's what's, I mean, and, you know, you say, well, you don't want to limit it for the players. That's what's best for the players.
Right.
It's not. This is not good for the players who are already at a school. There's so much uncertainty, and it's not good for the players who want to get in the portal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get it figured out. Yeah. We're out of time. Thanks for listening, as always. We certainly do appreciate it. Great conversation, especially about the Falcons today. Don't forget, tonight we'll have Hawks basketball for you first up. Then right around 9 o'clock or so, we'll join the Georgia-Auburn game, hopefully by tip-off, but maybe a little bit after tip. And so, yeah, check that out tonight on the Superstations. For Chris, for Alex, for Daniel, I'm Russ. We'll do it again tomorrow at 11. Y'all have a good one.